Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Aaron did the reading for us. It's from Mark 4, and that's where our message is coming from this morning. But before we get into it, I want to pray with you again. So I invite you to bow your heads, and we'll pray as we get started. Loving Father, I thank you for this beautiful Sabbath morning that we can meet together in your sanctuary here under the trees. I ask you to bless us, Lord, as we open your word, use me as your spokesperson for this time, that the things that I share will be encouraging, that will renew our hope in you and our trust in you. And Lord, we long for the day when you come. We pray that it will be soon, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. William Barclay was one of the most respected Bible scholars in the world. A few days before she was to be married, his only daughter drowned. Sometime later, commenting on our scripture for this morning from Mark 4, 35 to 41, Dr. Barclay is quoted as saying this. He said, "I am not concerned as to whether Jesus stilled the tempest on the sea. What I do know is that he stilled the tempest in my heart." And that's really important. Through the centuries, there have been millions of people who have heard Christ speak his sweet message of comfort and hope. That message is peace. Peace, be still. Jesus calms storms, and that's the good news for this morning. He calms storms. It probably won't surprise you when I tell you that lots of folks are facing stormy battles every day. Some go through high amounts of stress. Others, extreme loneliness. Others, if you live in Midland, Michigan, flooded homes. And just out of curiosity, how many of you had some water in your home where it wasn't supposed to be? It wasn't just in the sink or the bathtub. Several of you, yeah. All of us have been going through the anxiety of COVID-19. Others suffer through depression and even contemplate suicide. And I'm told some of the best selling medications that are sold at the pharmacies are antidepressants, sleeping pills, and anxiety medication. Whatever the storms are that you're facing, Jesus stands ready to calm them. My wife and I have been reading together. We always have morning worship together, but right now we're reading through the scriptures together. And yesterday's reading for us, and it's some in the Old Testament, some in the Psalms, some in the New Testament, and yesterday as we were driving up here, we were reading a portion out of Psalm 107, verses 29 to 32. And I didn't know that it was going to fit in with my message, but it fit perfectly, so I'm including it this morning, and I just want to share it with you. So I know you probably don't have a way to jot this down, and you may not even have the Bible with you, but if you do, it's Psalm 107, starting in verse 29. And it's talking about Jesus, about the Lord, and it says, "He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And actually, verse 32, let me include that. "Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders." He calms storms. This truth speaks to a reality that is being discussed more prominently in psychological circles today. It is this idea. And so, if you forget the rest of what I say this morning, I challenge you to remember this idea. Whatever happens to us is not nearly as important as what happens in us. Whatever happens to us is not nearly as important as what happens in us. There's a story that I read about a man and his wife on vacation at a cabin in the mountains. That sounds pretty good right about now, doesn't it? One afternoon, the man had gone on a hike by himself, and he returned to the cabin all scratched up and bruised, and his wife said, What happened? He said, "I met a snake on the trail." And she reminded him that they had been told in that area there were no venomous snakes. And he said, they don't have to be venomous if they can make you jump off a small cliff. So you see, the snake wasn't the problem. The man's unreasonable fear of snakes was the problem. In the words of an old German adage, fear makes the wolf bigger than he is. Years ago, Harry Emerson Fosdick told of a teenage girl stricken with polio. A girlfriend said to this handicapped young lady, affliction does so color life. To which this courageous girl replied, yes, but I get to choose the color. And that young lady had discovered one of life's greatest secrets. And here it is. It's not what happens to you. It's what happens in you that counts. When Robin Caruso was wrecked on his lonely island, he drew up in two columns what he called the evil and the good. He was cast on a desert island, but he was still alive. All the rest of the ship's company had been drowned at sea. He was divided from human society, but he was not starving. The little island could support his basic needs. He had no clothes, but he was in a hot climate where he did not need them. He was without any means of defense, but he didn't see any wild animals running around. He had no one to talk to, but God had sent the ship so near to the shore that he could get out of it all the things necessary for his basic needs. And so he concluded there was not any condition in the world so miserable, but that one could find something to praise God about and to be grateful for. And so there is that secret again, what happens in you. Your attitude makes all the difference. I read a cartoon. It was in a newspaper. It showed a little man standing before a vending machine, and the sign on the vending machine said, New Perspectives, 50 cents. And I'll just be real honest with you. There have been a lot of times in my life when I needed a new attitude. How about you? Have you ever needed a new attitude? I actually needed one yesterday. And I've got a lovely wife. We've been married 47 years, and she graciously tells me when I need an attitude adjustment. Do any of you have someone that's willing to tell you? You need to get a better attitude. Sometimes I haven't realized that I need a new attitude, but she helps me out. You know, our good and positive attitudes, they go a long way toward putting joy in our life, even while the storm clouds roll. All of us have storms in our life. Satan makes sure of that. Nobody is absent of stress and challenges and problems. A good friend of mine, he's passed away now. His name was Matt Bittner. When our family was living in Western Maryland, I pastored there for 6 years in a city called Cumberland, Maryland. It's in the panhandle of Maryland. You go 5 miles north and you're in Pennsylvania. And when you're in downtown Maryland, if you have a good arm, you can throw a rock across the Potomac River and hit West Virginia. So it's really sandwiched in there pretty tightly. And when we first came there, Matt was in his early 20s. He was still a student in college, just about to graduate and become a science and sports athletics director at a local elementary school. He had a beautiful voice. And the Heritage Singers, have you heard of the Heritage Singers or listened to some of their music? This would have been back in the early 90s. They put out a nationwide challenge for Seventh-day Adventist musicians to send in a recorded song. And they were going to pick a grand prize winner. And the grand prize winner for the best song and the best voice was going to get to come out to California to the ranch there at the Heritage Singers and to record a full album on CD. And they'd be given these albums and then have an opportunity to tour with Heritage Singers. And so Matt, beautiful voice, I guess you would call it a first tenor. Is that when you can sing the highest? He recorded this CD. And he chose the song, Till the Storm Passes By. I'm not going to sing it for you. It goes pretty high. It's got some high parts. But do you know the song? The Lord is going to watch over us till the storm passes by. He actually won the competition. He won grand prize and got to go out there to California and did that song. Well, years went by. We left Maryland in 1995, and were pastoring in Arkansas. And in December of 2010, we'd stayed in touch. I had him come to Arkansas and do some concerts for us, but it was strictly a weekend thing for him because he was a teacher by profession. He came down with cancer. And so he called me in December of 2010, and he was living in Washington, D.C. He asked me to fly out there and to do an anointing service for him. So from Arkansas, I got the ticket and flew into D.C. and went to his home, and we did the anointing. And a year later, in December of 2011, I went back to conduct his funeral. He was 47. It's hard, isn't it? We all have storms. We all need comfort. And it brings to my mind Matthew 11, verse 28, where we're told, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so I don't minimize the reality of life storms. Life is tough, but I contend that there is help and there is hope. This last week, my oldest sister, she was almost 11 years older than me, she died. She'd had some health challenges for quite some time, and yet we were all very, very sad to have her pass. Her funeral was a week ago yesterday. And so, of course, my wife and I attended the funeral. And when we left the funeral home, and you know how you go in a caravan out to the graveside, and there's going to be a little graveside service. And I have to say that in my 42 years of pastoring and the countless number of funerals I've done, never has anything happened like what happened at my sister's funeral. Because when we got to the cemetery, we discovered there had been a mix-up, and the gravedigger people had not dug the grave. And so here is the funeral car with all the flowers, and the funeral car with the casket, and all the family that have come to say their final goodbyes, and there's no place to put the body. And so that really challenges your stress levels. And some of us remained calm. I'm thankful to say I think I remained pretty calm. And I was thinking, they're just going to have to take her back to the funeral home until the person can come to dig the hole. There was a mix-up. But there were a couple of family members that they're not here today. It wasn't my wife. That were less calm, and they were rightfully very upset, saying things to the funeral home people like, "This is unacceptable." Can you understand? That'd be pretty upsetting. And so we read the obituary there. I had a prayer, and all but about, 8 or 10 people left, including the husband. He's in poor health. The son took his dad back home. He's not able to wait around, but we're told the gravedigger's coming. So we waited. The service was supposed to be at 2 o'clock. The gravedigger finally showed up, and we waited for him to grave. There were like 10 of us. My other sister and some other relatives, we waited 2 hours while he dug the grave. And then, but you know, normally they set up the little green carpet, and they put up the little green and the chairs. There was none of that. But we just waited until we could have a proper burial for her. And yet, it was tough. We all need comfort in hard times. And we're reminded, even in those hard times, that Jesus cares for us. There's a 2-volume set of books. One's, they're called God Cares, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Maybe you have those. One's basically on the book of Daniel. The other's on the book of Revelation. The one on the book of Revelation is God Cares, Volume 2. I want to read just one little piece out of it because it's appropriate for this message. It says, a Christian nurse, it's a story. A Christian nurse stood by a hospital bed as a small child of the inner city opened the wrappings of a Christmas present. The gift, donated through a charity, had a note attached. And the note said, "With lots of love," the nurse read aloud. The boy's mind groped for understanding. "What does love mean?" he asked. Concealing her surprise, the nurse flung her arms around the neglected child and squeezed him tight, and then she disengaged her arms and kissed him on the cheek. "That's love," she explained.
The little boy said, "I like love."
We all like love, don't we? Of course he did. We all like love. To be loved is to be treated with kindness, to be thought about and planned for, to be wept over and rejoiced with, to be talked to and listened to have nice things done for us. To be loved is to have someone truly care about us. And the Bible says that God is love. 1 John 4:8, it also says, "Cast all your anxieties, all your cares on him, for he cares for you." He cares for you. Faith in him helps determine what is happening in us while the storms are happening to us. One of my favorite stories in early Adventist history comes out of Battle Creek, Michigan. So I never realized really until yesterday, coming from Arkansas, you come up on 69 through Lansing. And there's a turn there, and I forget that you could tell me the name of the interstate, but it says Battle Creek. And we looked on the map, and it's not that far. From here, what is Battle Creek? Maybe 3 hours or something like that. Maybe 3.5. I don't know. Or 4. But from there, from Lansing, it doesn't look like it's more than an hour away. And so those of you that are familiar with Seventh-day Adventist history, some of the early beginnings were there. James and Ellen White lived there for a number of years. John Harvey Kellogg was there. And, you know, the whole Kellogg industry and Kellogg cornflakes and all that. And so John Harvey Kellogg built this big hospital. It's called a sanitarium, Battle Creek Sanitarium. And it's no longer a sanitarium. The building is still there. It's awesome. I've never been in it because now it's a federal building, and you have to get special permission to go into the federal building. And especially now with the COVID, I'm sure it'd be double special permission to be able to go in. Someday maybe I can do that. But we've driven around it and walked the ground several times. Anyway, there's a story. Lots of famous people came there for therapy. They were ill with one challenge or another. But there's a story about James Penney, J.C. Penney. We know the J.C. Penney stores are in trouble now across the nation. Many of them are closing. I think J.C. Penney has filed for bankruptcy. So we'll see whether that whole empire that he built, whether that is able to be sustained or not. By the way, he was born in 1875. He died in 1971 at the age of 95 years old. And just kind of a side note, I'm told because of his coming to the Lord and his experience there at Battle Creek, as he came to the Lord, he started tithing. And how much is tithe? Somebody shouted out. 10%. He started tithing. God still blessed. And then he was tithing 20 and 30 and 40. By the time he got to the end of his life, J.C. Penney was tithing 90% and living on 10%. Pretty interesting stories if you want to read his life story. So anyway, he came there to the sanitarium very ill. He thought he was dying. He wrote several letters and he went to bed thinking that he wouldn't be alive the next morning, but he was alive when morning came. He got up and he was walking down the hallway when he heard some people singing. It was actually a morning worship that the Seventh-day Adventist nurses and doctors and other staff that were working at the hospital. The song they were singing was, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you." Do you know that song? I love that song. It was an early morning prayer service. And so Mr. Penney slipped inside and sat somewhere in the back. He left that meeting with a prayer on his heart. He said, "Lord, I can do nothing. Will you take care of me?" Jesus answered that prayer, and J.C. Penney met the one who can still life's storms. Like I said, he wound up living to be 95 years old. William Cooper was a great poet. He knew about Christ's ability to calm storms. And during a storm in his life, he tried several times to commit suicide, but always not being successful. No wonder he would later write, and maybe you've heard this famous expression, "God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides the storm." This man wrote that, the man that was really down. You and I have been in the boat with those fearful disciples. We have seen the storm clouds rise. We have felt the winds begin to howl and the waves begin to beat into the ship. The picture in Mark's gospel, there in Mark 4, is of a boat being swamped slowly. It's filling with water. It's going to go down. It's beginning to list to one side. The situation is not simply scary. It's becoming desperate. And there Jesus is, sound asleep in the back of the boat. And maybe you've wondered at times, when troubles surround you, Lord, are you asleep? Where are you when I need you? So the disciples, they woke Jesus up with one of the most penetrating questions in all of life. And they said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? What do you think? Does Jesus care? He absolutely does. That is the secret to handling life storms. After he has rebuked the storm, Jesus rebukes his disciples. And he says, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And we realize that is the critical problem in our lives. It is not what is happening to us, but what is happening in us. The way we handle life storms is directly proportional to our faith. Can you hear that gentle voice speaking to you today when Jesus says, Peace be still? And in the words of Mark's gospel, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So my challenge and my appeal is to let Jesus fill you with the peace that comes from a full surrender and giving over to him every storm and every challenge that we have in life. And so I'm going to close with prayer, and then I think that Nathan and Hillary and Evie are going to have another song for us. Let's pray together. Loving Father, thank you for reminding us through your word there in the Gospel of Mark chapter 4 that you care about us, that you calm the storms in our lives, that it's not what happens to us, but what happens in us, inside of us that counts, Lord, our attitude. May we give our attitudes fully and completely over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.